Welcome to worship at Advent, and happy Valentine's Day week. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the kingdom now and forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The prophet Habakkuk prays, acknowledging God's great deeds and expressing trust that God is good despite suffering. A reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our own time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the oil crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 27, which can be found in your bulletins on page 4. We will read in unison. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When evildoers come upon me to eat up my flesh, it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. And though war should rise up against me, yet will I put my trust in him. One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock. That God works in people's hearts through modeling godly wisdom, not whatever is intellectually fashionable at the moment. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the gospel procession song that you just sang, or that some of you sang, here's what it says. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. And in the gospel reading, really, Jesus talks about that element for Christians being in our lives, that we are like that to other people. Starting at verse 13, beginning through 20. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is really a word for followers of Jesus, not for the multitudes. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it become salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Speak to you on a portion of the gospel. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. I want to reflect with you on the concept of light in us from Christ. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 5:8, Paul says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are innately light bearers in our lives as we follow after Jesus. And to me, that's an ironic thing. Jesus is the light of the world, but when we follow him, that light is in us, and so we have responsibility. He says in verse 15, "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket." You know, every morning when we come for worship, we light the candles, and at the end, we douse them. And a part of what that means for me is that in the way that I live, understanding that I have the light of the Lord in me that hopefully radiates out from me, I want to make sure that I am not putting a basket or extinguishing the light that God has put in me. And that's a part of what I'd like you to think about today. Of course you are, when you come to Christ, you are the light of the world. And it's important that we honor and respect the light and not diminish it or even put it out by the way that we live. When Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to people who were not necessarily highly respected, his disciples. Some were a few fishermen, some tax collectors, and he said to them, "You're the light of the world." In his day, the centers of culture were Athens and Rome, and they were seen as the light of the world. And Jesus is saying to this small collection of people, you were the light of the world. In the Jewish tradition, Pharisees and rabbis were called the lamps of Israel. A part of how they served one another was that they would only respect a fellow Jew, especially a Pharisee. Someone who was not a Jew would be called a dog, and you don't deal with them. But Jesus says that we are, as we come to him, we're light to the world, not simply to those that look and think exactly like us. So I want to reflect a little bit on two ways that we can show forth light. We don't want to extinguish. We want the light to shine brightly. And one of the ways that we can allow that to happen in our lives is through the cycle of forgiveness in our lives. To me, it is so important. You know, we live in a strange time when you look at, in the last months, what has happened in our nation's capital. How the hate-filled speech that's poured from either side onto one another, the idea of compromise is impossible. This morning in the news, there was the news of another policeman shot. We live in very difficult times, but yet we are called not to escape to Montana, but we are called to be lights, actually, by the way we live. And one of those ways is through forgiveness. You understand that the first move in forgiveness was never ours. Paul said, as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive one another. That it starts from the Lord. We receive forgiveness. The past, even future failure, is blotted out. And then Jesus teaches, which we say virtually every Sunday in the liturgy, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. That's a more modern translation of forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You ever thought of that? You'll be coming to the altar rail in a little bit. We'll confess some sins. And a part of what we say in the Lord's Prayer is, God, forgive me to the level that I forgive others. To me, that's a powerful reminder. I certainly don't live that way all the time. My desire is, and when I don't forgive, when I don't release forgiveness, then my light extinguishes a little bit. It deteriorates, because forgiveness is such a powerful example to others that see how you respond. It doesn't mean that we don't at times be disappointed and hurt, but it means that we don't walk with an agenda of payback for other people. We walk with an agenda of forgiveness. We have been forgiven, and because of that, we extend that forgiveness to others. Here's the thing. Of course, there is failure in our lives. We don't stop being a child of God because of a sin, of a failure to do something we intended to do. It's just that communication stops. I find that if I have failed in some way and I know it, then I find it very hard to pray and hear from God, because there's a communication blockage. When Tammy and I were together, there were times that you may find this very hard to believe, when I failed her. And again, and again, and again. And when I failed her, I didn't stop being married to her. It's just that when you're like this, it's very hard to communicate. You want to be at a place like this. And so forgiveness is so important. We don't stop being a child of God, but communication becomes very, very difficult. So forgiveness is an important value that allows your light to shine more brightly. And I encourage you to think about that. How are you? Are you known as a person who readily forgives? Doesn't mean you get tromped over, but it means that you release a person for their failure in what they have done or failed to do. If you don't, you will pile up a load of stones that will make it harder for you to be free in your life toward other people as well as toward God. So one way to show light is through forgiveness. And then another one, which is very close to it, is that through the words we speak, our words can be like a light, a lamp, or it can be something that extinguishes rather than promotes light. There are over a million words in the English language, approximately. The average person knows about 20,000 words. Some of us know just a few and keep repeating them over and over and over again. But generally, we know about 20,000 words, and we use about 2,000 different words a week. But here's the thing. What matters is not the number of words that you know, the number of words that you speak, but the nature and the quality of the words that you speak. By the words that you speak, you can bring light into a situation, or you can dim it by putting a basket over it, by being negative. The Apostle James says that the tongue is a small part of the body, but it's extremely powerful. I was at the rec center this week, a couple times where Finn and I work out, and in the locker room on one of the busy days, heard all kinds of conversations, not by my locker, but one guy was talking about the ball and chain that he's married to. And then the other guy tried to top him. It seemed like by talking about the stuff, different adjectives used, but the stuff that he gets away with at work, where he doesn't have to do work but still gets paid for it. And they were chuckling with each other about what they were talking about. We are taught to speak words of life by Paul in Ephesians. The Apostle James says that the tongue can be used for good or evil, and I want to use my tongue for good. From an album that's several years old by Toby Mac, I still have it on my phone, is a song called just simply Speak Life. Speak words that bring life, not words that bring death. And one of the ways that you can see if your light is shining brightly are people coming to you. Do they like being around you because you're a light giver, because you speak life? Or do people tend to back away from you and make conversation short because you tend to be a douser or a dimmer of the light? It's such an important thing. We live in challenging times. We are called to live fully a Christian life today, not 20 years ago, but today. And two simple ways that you can increase your ability to be a good witness is by walking in the cycle of forgiveness from heaven to me to others. And the words that you speak, that they might be words of life. Forgiveness and the words of life. We live in an age in which Matthew 24 talks about lawlessness increasing. We may be living in that era. It certainly seems like it. But we are still called to live fully what we believe by the way that we live. And so I encourage you to reflect on that. We have a privilege of being entrusted with the word of the gospel, with the potential to change people's lives, not simply by holding up the Bible in front of them, but by demonstrating the truth of the Bible in your life, by the cycle of forgiveness and by the words that you speak. It's a powerful opportunity. I encourage you to reflect on it. What does it mean in your life to be a Christian? Let's continue our service as we stand together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 3, which is found in page 6 in your bulletin. Lord, we ask that you let each one of us be a light in the world to other people, to show them your words and to show them what you wish us to do. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and especially Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us your grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
We ask your prayers, Lord, for the people of China and around the world that are dealing with the coronavirus or other illnesses. Bless them and heal them, Lord. We ask for health and recovery on Advent's prayer list for Lillian, for Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Dave, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Sharon, Steve, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, George, and Shirley. We pray for friends of Advent, for Tony Kuma, for Sylvia Little, for Trevor, for Ken and Jim, for Richard, for Jack Morgan, for Liz, and for the Eliza Jennings residents. Let us now pray for our own needs and for those of others. We'll pray the following prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now.
Good morning. So I was here at 8 o'clock service, and so I've gotten a double dose of Paul's sermon, and I've been convicted now 3 times by this message. The first time I was convicted was driving to church this morning, listening to the radio. A young believer, was talking about growing up as a pastor's kid, and everybody in the congregation thought this family was the model Christian family. And the kid said, you know, that may have looked that way on the outside. As soon as we got out of church, got in the car, all hell broke loose, and abuse started, and we were anything but Christ-like. So I'm thinking, you know, does that sound like me sometimes? And then I come here this morning, and he talks about forgiveness, and he talks about edifying words, and I'm thinking, oop, how many times am I guilty of that? So thanks for really ruining my day, Mr. Larson.
It's a gift.
It's your job, right? So to recover, today is the second Sunday of the month, so we will be having intercessory prayer. So that's our opportunity to get right with God and remove some of those blockages to communication. So if you'd like to join us, we'll be meeting in one of the Sunday school rooms after the 10 o'clock service. There will also be someone to pray with you and back during communion, so take advantage of that opportunity. So the Altar Guild has asked me to bring to your attention an issue, and I'm going to try to follow Paul's advice and use edifying words and words of encouragement when I say that there are some of us who are not paying for the altar flowers, even though we've signed up for them. So if you signed up for altar flowers, please pay the kitty, because the church is in the deficit right now on altar flowers. So I say that with love. If you owe money, pay up, please. A couple of announcements in the bulletin regarding men's night out tomorrow night and spaghetti dinner on the 15th. We've got some clipboards that we'll start here when I'm finished. And also Shrove Tuesday, there's a sign-up sheet for Shrove Tuesday. So one last thing. We're about 5 or 6 weeks away from Bishop Love joining us on March 15th. I'm still waiting for his travel plans so that we know what is going on that particular Sunday. We have people who are being baptized and people being confirmed. And I know he will want to meet with confirmands and those being baptized and parents and godparents prior to the service. So I'm not sure yet what the timing is going to be on that Sunday. But I would ask you, this is an opportunity for Bishop Love to join us. He was last here in, I think it was August 2016. So think about that, 3.5 years. So let's have this be a time where we celebrate his ministry, time for us to celebrate his time with us, and celebrate our relationship in the body of Christ. So if there's something that you think you'd like to see us do while he's here, please let Ray or me know as we're beginning to formulate plans for that day. We will have a reception afterwards on that Sunday, but if there are other activities that you'd like to see us undertake, please let me know. His hearing will be on April 20th, so it'll be about a month after he's here. So we'll be organizing a prayer vigil around that time to support him in prayer. So there'll be several things that we'll be doing. If there are other ideas you have, please see me. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thanks for the conviction, sir.
And the amazing thing is, he didn't fall asleep once during both times he was through the sermon. We continue our service by presenting our offerings to the Lord. Continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up, Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of thy glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. When we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive. Thank you. So beautiful. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. From number 6, 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Your light go dim this week. Ultimately, remember that this is National Pizza Day as you go in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know all these people writing in the Bible. It's like, oh my gosh. before there were sticky notes? I don't know.